Welcome to Canada's Real Estate Podcast, your compass to all things real estate. And now, here's your hosts, Carla Brown and Adrian Schultz, Canada's real estate experts.
In today's episode, we're talking about something that's happening all across Canada, regardless of which jurisdiction you're in, and that is government, either provincial or civic government, getting involved in short-term rental policies and essentially laws. Carla, we're in the with the Trollwood Pacific Group's real property management brand. We're in the single family rental management business. How is this affecting that brand or just that industry as a whole?
Yeah, and you said provincial and national. It's actually even municipal. Like, it's, you know, the different municipalities have really been starting to figure out how they're going to manage this short-term versus long-term rental situation, because it is causing a lot, I won't say a lot of problems. I mean, there's pros and cons to both, but there are some concerns that have come up. So different municipalities, and now probably the biggest thing that came out was BC made a big announcement here in the fall that they were now going to be regulating. Things needed to be registered. They were no longer allowing you to be renting out property if you weren't actually living in it, which was how Airbnbs originally started. It was like, you got a spare room, you could Airbnb it. And then it just turned into this thing where it's now just short-term rentals everywhere where you can come and stay for a weekend. And so I would say from real property management, we're seeing where people who were managing short-term were showing them the value of how they could now turn this short-term into a long-term position and still be able to make revenue. Everyone thinks that, oh, short-term, all the money's in short-term. If you're an investor. And yeah, there's appears to be a lot of money, but there's a lot of work that goes on to it. Those things are like two different machines to be running short-term and long-term rentals.
I think there's short-term money in short-term rentals. I don't think it's a long-term business proposition as we're seeing. And the one thing that I always think about, because we actually tried it in one of our investment properties. We once bought an executive furnished rental. I think it had three units. We still own it. We turned it into a long-term investment. But the one thing I really felt at the time, yes, Carla, I have feelings. The one thing that I really felt was, are we competing with the hotels and the bed and breakfasts? Because bed and breakfasts have licenses and hotels are an industry as a whole. Are we competing with them? And when you think about a property management company, can you really do or be a great hospitality operator, which is what short-term rentals are? They're hospitality, okay? Or can you really just be great at the traditional property management, which is long-term, you know, one-year leases, 6 months leases or longer, whatever it might be, and holding that investment for the long term, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, the reality is that unless you become really good at one and then start being good and then be really good at another, it's really hard to dabble in both. And we have seen a few offices that have done that, some more successful than others, but you're right, it's completely different. And I think we had a previous podcast episode, maybe one or two over the last couple of years, that has addressed this, that, you are no longer a tenant or a resident. In short term, you are a guest. And the expectations of that individual going to those properties from short term to long term are very, very different. And how you turn them over, like turnover means like one is moving out and another one's moving in. Those processes are completely different. And you know how big both of us are on processes in order to make things streamlined and scalable. So those all of a sudden need to be really, really looked at. And the reality is that we have this housing shortage in Canada. Everybody is talking about it. And now we see that's why municipalities, provincial governments, and now the federal government have stepped in and said, we have to make some changes here to address it. So we can't allow people to be having these short-term rentals in certain areas operating the way that they were before. I read an article a few months ago in Montreal, because they have some pretty strict regulations when it comes to short-term. And their fines are like upwards towards $100,000. So this is like nothing to mess around with. And a lot of people going into these short-term rentals don't understand. Those people who are renting them out are under no regulations. They don't fall under Residential Tenancy Act regulations. They don't fall under the Hospitality Act regulations right now. So you essentially, in a lot of places, could be unlicensed. No one knows. You're renting these spaces out. But a lot of these condos in some of these bigger areas are like hotels that are unmarked. Hotels that you're not getting hospitality points for.
Yeah, exactly. Words of warning. And I think this is commonly overlooked. Number one, the mortgage product that you're in may not even permit short-term rentals.
Never thought of that.
Yeah. Do you remember when you got that rental property mortgage, you were asked for a copy of the lease? The reason for that is the bank wanted to verify that this is a legitimate rental property with a term lease in place. Because remember, the majority of lenders do not lend for rooming houses or short-term rentals.
That's, I never even thought of that, Adrian. Yeah.
And so you could be in breach, and I use this term broadly. You could be in breach of your mortgage loan agreement. Something to be aware of when you're renewing, because when you renew, as lenders become more diligent in their lending practices, especially as it pertains to renewals, if they go and Google the address and see you're operating a short-term rental business, you may require a totally different type of mortgage product. I would argue that would be more like a commercial mortgage, right? Which is 30, 35% down payment, right? Not the 20 that you put down. So that's one thing I would warn you to consider to make sure you're not breaching your mortgage loan agreement with your lender. Number two, and this is actually the most important one, that's your property insurance. You have a much higher level of exposure, of risk exposure for an insurance claim with a short-term rental. If you have a fire or a crime or whatever sort of incident occur in your short-term rental and you attempt to make a claim and the insurer realizes that you have not been A, this wasn't a primary residence, that's one of the mistakes people make, but B, this isn't a rental property, this is a commercial hospitality operation for which you are not insured. So one of two things will happen or could happen. One, your claim could and likely will be denied. And two, they may terminate your coverage because you didn't disclose that you're in the short-term hospitality business, which could leave you in breach again of your mortgage loan agreement because you have to have the property insured when it has a mortgage on it, right? So I would argue that short-term rentals are a lot more complex than people give them credit. A lot of people overlook these things. And to be fair, even in our industry, a lot of people don't know these things. And here's what will happen. That short-term money gain that you thought you had, you lose, and you lose way more if you're accidentally in breach of one of those two things. So I would say invest and hold short-term rentals with great caution.
Yeah, really, really do the research. And so the new regulations that the federal government recently announced that come into effect January 1st, 2024, is definitely going to hinder people who are making a profit off of short-term rentals, because now you're no longer going to be able to claim certain tax expenses. And so that's going to impact them, of course. And they're doing it so they can kind of curb things. But the other thing that I thought was really interesting is they have now allotted a lump sum of money that they're going to give to municipalities who need help in basically controlling this. So like, here's the regulation, but it always comes down to who's going to actually police this. So they're going to give municipalities money in order to do that. So I think it'll be interesting in the beginning of the year to see what we see there. And so I would say anyone who is currently doing short-term rentals to reach out to a property manager who specializes in long-term and just start going through the numbers. Just start trying to figure it out. We've got such a strong rental market right now. And I know it's strong on the short-term too, but the long-term is super strong. We've seen increases in every part of Canada, almost month over month for the entire year. So now might be a great time to like weigh out all of those pros and cons and then see what it would look like to flip into long-term. I know our office in BC are getting inundated with phone calls from people on how they can make this move because BC is coming down with some really strict regulations. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Now that's real estate in Canada.
Thanks for listening to Canada's Real Estate Podcast. If you like this episode, please subscribe and give us a rating. The content shared is for informational purposes and reflects the opinions of the hosts. Connect with us online at canadasrealestatepodcast.ca. Today's episode is brought to you by Century 21 Canada, the gold standard in real estate. Explore listings, find an agent, and get advice at www.c21.ca.